Alongside problem reaction solution is another technique. I call it the stepping stones technique. James Madison once said, "I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." And what that is saying in simple terms is if you want to go from here to there, you know, if you go in one jump, people are going to go, "What's going on? What's going on?" So what you do is you do it in little steps, each step projected as totally unconnected to the others. And suddenly you're here. And when people look back, they say, "My goodness me, where did this come from?" European Union has been created like that. You join a free trade area, you end up in a centralized fascist state. This is the structure throughout these thousands of years that I've been talking about, which has allowed this scam to go on. You have the elite, the brotherhood elite, because, you know, even when the Freemasons and these secret societies, the vast majority of them, I haven't got a clue this is going on. They'll be as surprised at this as anybody. These secret societies are compartmentalized fiercely. You only go to the next level if you're chosen to go to the next level, and that means knowledge. So most Freemasons and secret society members are not involved in this scam. Only the few at the top who know what's going on. And so you have a situation with pyramids inside pyramids. It's like Russian dolls, one inside the other. So a bank is a pyramid, a transnational corporation is a pyramid, and a compartmentalized pyramid. The guy who goes to work in the bank in the morning, he's gone to earn his living so he can pay for the mortgage and look after his family. He's not trying to scam the world, but he doesn't know what he's part of. And so these fiercely compartmentalized pyramids mean that the bank is controlled by very few people. But that bank then goes into the next pyramid, the global banking system pyramid, and at the top of that, the same people control all the global banks. Same with the transnational corporations. They are individually a compartmentalized pyramid. They go into the transnational corporation global network, and at the top of that, all the transnational corporations are controlled by the same people, and they're the same people that control the banks. Same with the military, same with the secret societies, and same with the intelligence agencies, etc. Same with the political parties. And so what we've seen in this 20th century, just take the 20th century alone, is an incessant centralization of power in all areas of our lives. Why? Because all those institutions fuse into the same brotherhood, which is putting down those apparently unconnected areas of our lives, the same policy of centralization, all coordinated. This is the one-party state pyramid. Down here in the political parties at the bottom of the pyramid, you've got people who knock on your door and put the funny hats on at the conventions and political meetings and stuff. And they genuinely believe they're on different sides because they know they're different. But as you go up these pyramids to the point that I'm talking about, to this brotherhood, these political parties that appear to be different in public fuse into the same leadership. So the people that supply or dictate who's going to run for president in the Democrats in America are the same people that dictate who's going to run for the Republicans. Same all over the world. It's one-party states, but we have to believe we have multi-party states and freedom and choice. Otherwise, we might rebel against not being free. We've got to be persuaded we are. And these political parties, in the end, are controlled by the same people. It's interesting. Three of the key symbols that this brotherhood has used over these thousands of years is the lighted torch, the dove, and the red rose. And the three political parties in Britain are the Labour Party, Tony Blair's government, which is the red rose symbol, the Liberal Democrats, which is the dove, and the Conservatives, which is the lighted torch. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. We are told, and the media emphasizes this, and the leaders of politics, etc., walk the world stage as if they are at the peak of political decision-making in the world. When you look at the way it really works, the presidents, prime ministers, and heads of NATO, etc., are nowhere near the top of this global pyramid. They're some way down, and they are appointed and manipulated into power by those above them that control the banking system, the media, etc., which you need to have money and media support if you're going to make these positions. So presidents and prime ministers, why they stand there is, you know, someone once said the president of America is the most powerful man in the world. My goodness me, what a joke. They are administrators of an agenda which is being decided above them by people outside the public eye mostly. This is the health pyramid, another wonderful example of how this works. You've got the transnational drug corporations controlled by this global elite. They, the transnational drug corporations, created the World Health Organization within the United Nations. The World Health Organization has a committee called CODEX, which is devising regulations to make life very much more difficult for alternative healing and food supplements, etc. The CODEX regulations come down and are introduced by European and national governments, go through the medical profession, and then are imposed on the people. And the alternative health methods, I say alternative, they've been around for thousands of years, the scalpel and the drug for 10 minutes, they are being squeezed out by this edifice of power. And because the drug companies control the World Health Organization and the doctors, etc., situations can arise like this. A few years ago, the World Health Organization announced there was going to be a measles epidemic the following year. And in Britain, the government spent taxpayers' money to produce very fear-based advertisements, black and white, with a big ominous voice saying, by the end of this year, one of these children on the picture will have died from measles. Oh, my goodness, fear, the manipulation of fear again. As a result of that, there was a 99.99999% take-up all over Britain of that measles vaccine. A whole generation of children had that vaccine. And who supplied the vaccine? The transnational drug companies who, through the World Health Organization, had arranged for that announcement to be made. What happened? No measles epidemic. But then you say, what was going on? What about the epidemic? They say, well, there wasn't one because people were vaccinated. So the cycle goes on and on and on. Vaccination is one of the key ways that the human body and the human immune system is being undermined according to this agenda. Over the years, different groups of these secret societies have emerged for specific tasks. And because the agenda has a specific time scale, and across the millennium is the time of introduction, through this century, this agenda has been advanced quicker and quicker and quicker. Towards the end of the last century, and right at the start of this one, a secret society was created in Britain, not surprisingly, called the Round Table. It was headed up originally by a guy called Cecil Rhodes, who was one of the bloodline families that orchestrated the manipulation and takeover of Southern Africa by Britain. Also, Rhodes scholarships came out of this guy, Cecil Rhodes. I think I mentioned those earlier, where the youngsters of the bloodlines around the world are picked up and given a Rhodes scholarship to Oxford University. This comes out of the same guy. Well, he died in 1902, and other people took over. And there were roundtable groups interlocking set up around the world. The key places were America and Britain. And when we had the First World War, the key people in the American War Administration were members of this roundtable, and the key people in the cabinet in Britain were members of the same roundtable. So they orchestrated the First World War, and afterwards, when they were deciding how the world would be redrawn as a result of the war, the very same members of the roundtable were appointed to the Versailles Peace Conference to decide how it would be set up and redrawn. Classic problem, reaction, solution. Create the problem, create the war, get the reaction, something must be done, then offer the solution. At that Versailles Peace Conference, again in Paris, the cities and locations keep reoccurring, they had a meeting at the Hotel Majestic in Paris in 1919, these roundtable members, both sides of the Atlantic. And they started to orchestrate the creation of offshoot organizations around this central core that would push this agenda on through the 20th century. The first one created was the Royal Institute of International Affairs in 1920 in London, still going strong today, a major, major part of this network. In 1921, in America, came the Council on Foreign Relations, which is subordinate to the London Royal Institute of International Affairs. Since 1921, virtually every president and endless major positions in the administrations of both parties have been members of the Council on Foreign Relations. You cannot become an ambassador for the United States today without being a member of this private organization. In 1954 came the Bilderberg Group, set up at the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek, Holland. And this, like the Trilateral Commission that came in 1972-73, these organizations coordinate the same agenda between apparently unconnected areas of our lives. So, for instance, the people that attend and are members of these groups are the top people in the global military, global politics, global banking, global business, global media, etc. And so through these organizations, the same policy is coordinated. And I'll just give you one example of what I mean. The Bosnian War has been an example, magnificent example, of all these elements that I'm talking about. First of all, it was problem, reaction, solution. You had the problem, the war, the reaction, something must be done, and the solution, a 60,000-strong world army under NATO control, which has advanced the agenda closer to the world army, which is the great goal of this agenda. People like Henry Kissinger, Kissinger Associates, and Lord Carrington, founding director of Kissinger Associates, were the key manipulators of the Bosnian War, among many others. So when you take that into account, and then you look at these organizations, and you look at the key peace negotiators in Bosnia, throughout that period of that war and conflict, some incredible coincidences start to unfold. When the war started, the European Union appointed the first peace negotiator, Lord Carrington. Lord Carrington, founding director of Kissinger Associates that orchestrated the war. Lord Carrington, chairman of the Bilderberg Group since 1991, president of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Trilateral Commission member. When he failed to achieve peace in Bosnia, the war went on. Along came another European Union peace negotiator, Lord David Owen, Bilderberg Group Trilateral Commission, and he was replaced when the war went on by Carl Bildt, the Swedish Prime Minister, Bilderberg Group. Working with them through this same period were the United Nations appointed peace negotiators. The first one was Cyrus Vance, Bilderberg Group Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. He was replaced by a Norwegian, Thorvald Stoltenberg, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group. The war went on. The horrors went on. The clamor, something must be done, got louder and louder, politically and in terms of the general public. It was time to play the sting. Onto the stage, first of all, came Jimmy Carter, an independent peace negotiator, former president. Jimmy Carter, first Trilateral Commission president of the United States, Council on Foreign Relations member. And then came the team that introduced the sting, the solution, the World Army. This was led by Richard Holbrooke, Bill Clinton's peace envoy. Richard Holbrooke, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. He answered to the Secretary of State at the time in America, Warren Christopher, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, who worked with William Perry, the Defense Secretary at the time, Bilderberg Group, and they answered to the President, Bill Clinton, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, who answered to the unelected David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, leading executives of the Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. The first head of the World Army appointed in Bosnia was Admiral Leighton Smith, Council on Foreign Relations. And the ambassador in the former Yugoslavia through this period was Warren Zimmerman, Council on Foreign Relations. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. But unless you do this research, you think all these people are independent, when actually they're all connected. This roundtable network also accounts for the coordination of the media. Because if you look at the three television networks in America, NBC, ABC, CBS, if you look at the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, all over the world, you're looking at the people who control those organizations being members of this same roundtable network. Washington Post, Katharine Graham, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, and so it goes on. So you have a coordinated policy, a coordinated agenda through all these different areas of our lives, including the media, which controls how that agenda and those events that you're creating are actually reported to the people. Complete stitch up, but it doesn't have to be. It depends on us giving our power away and watching the prices right instead of focusing on what's going on in the world and taking responsibility for it so it ceases to happen. Just to finish the sequence, this is the administration of a Democrat, said on his election form, Jimmy Carter, Trilateral Commission member, also Council on Foreign Relations. Democrats, and his administrations, his CFRTC, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. This is more Jimmy Carter, more of the same organizations coordinating policy through this apparently elected administration. So then you get to 1980 and you think, oh, well, I'm fed up with them Democrats. And of course, I'm in a democracy. And so therefore, I can choose someone different because I want to change the policy. You know, and it's great being in the land of the free and all that. And so you choose Ronald Reagan. His chief advisors up there were David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, two of the great brotherhood manipulators of the 20th century. And then again, the names change in these various positions, but the coordinating bodies do not. CFR, TC, everywhere. More Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a non-member, but he didn't have to be, did he, Ron? He read the autocue, did as he was told, like they all do. But he was a member of other secret groups and of course, Bohemian Grove, as we saw earlier. Again, here you have the ambassadors, the Congress, the State Department, CFR, CFR, TC. So then you move on to George Bush. George Bush, I would refer you to, and the truth shall set you free, and the biggest secret, and I will say no more about George Bush. So there again, another administration, different names, same coordinating bodies. More George Bush, same again. So then you get to, what is it, 1992, and you say, well, I'm fed up with them Republicans. They've had all these terms, and you know, with Reagan and Bush, and I think we ought to have a change. And so along comes Slick Will from the Windsor bloodline from Arkansas, and he starts saying that he stands for change and I stand for change and vote for me, we need change. That was his mantra throughout that election. Well, let's see how the change took place. Here's Bill, member of all of them, got the full set, and there again, different names. We're Democrat now because it says so. Same coordinating body, Bill Clinton administration again, same coordinating bodies. So we've come a long way in these hours so far from the ancient world to the present day, and we have seen unfold, and I have scratched the surface here. I've just scratched the surface of the information that's available and the supporting evidence that's available because of time. But we've come from the ancient world and seen these bloodlines expand their power to the point now where they control the planet. We're also at a point of enormous change as this 26,000-year cycle comes to an end of the solar system going round the galactic sun. Always a time of tremendous change. We're starting to see it happen. People are waking up. People are starting to look at this information for the first time. And indeed, this energy of change is lifting the veil on all this for the first time in thousands of years. We're blinking into the light of what's been going on behind our backs, behind the movie screen all this time. And I repeat, this can only happen because we allow it to happen and we play a part in it happening. It's not that this group have more power than the rest of the population nonsense. It is the rest of the population give their power to this group day after day after day. It's because we allow ourselves to be divided and ruled because in our stunning self-righteousness, we think if we believe something, everyone else must believe it or we're wrong. It's a time to grow up. It's a time to go from spiritual childhood to spiritual adulthood very, very quickly in the time that we have available as this change takes place. And in the final video in the series, I'm going to look at what changes are taking place and who we really are. The information above all else, above all this, that this brotherhood and these bloodlines have been desperate to stop us understanding all this time. Who we are, the nature of life, and the fact there's no one on this planet that's ordinary. There's no one in this creation that's ordinary. There's just billions who've been manipulated to think they are, so we become a doddle to manipulate and control. That time is over, and we'll see that in the final video in this series. For now, thank you very much.